Okay, so if you're not familiar with hysterical literature, I'll put a link. There's a link in the description of the original project. Essentially, the project had women read while being filmed and off camera under the table they're sitting at. They are being pleasured and they have to try to read until they come. So, I don't know exactly how this is going to work, but it seems like a fun idea. So, I just can't resist anything to do with a good story. So, I chose one of my favorites, which is The English Patient. If you've seen the movie, it's pretty close to the book. And it's about a love affair between a married woman and her husband's friend. And at this point, they have figured out that they want each other. And they have a very volatile relationship. She picks up a cushion and places it onto her lap as a shield against him. If you make love to me, I won't lie about it. And if I make love to you, I won't lie about it. She moves the cushion against her heart as if she would suffocate that part of herself which has broken free. What do you hate most? He asks. A lie. And you? Ownership, he says. When you leave me, forget me. Her fist swings toward him and hits hard into the bone just below his eye. She dresses and leaves. Each day, he would return home and look at the black bruise in the mirror. He became curious, not so much about the bruise, but about the shape of his face. The long eyebrows he had never really noticed before. The beginning of gray in his sandy hair. He had not looked at himself like this in a mirror for years. That was a long eyebrow. Nothing can keep him from her. When he is not in the desert with Maddox or with Berman in the Arab libraries, he meets her in Groppy Park beside the heavily watered plum gardens. She is happiest here. She is a woman who Mrs. Moisture, who has always loved low green hedges and ferns, while for him, this much greenery feels like a carnival. Indeed. From Groppy Park, they arc out into the old city, South Cairo markets, where few Europeans go. In his rooms, maps cover the walls, and in spite of his attempts at furnishing, there is still a sense of base camp to his quarters. They lie in each other's arms, the pulse and shadow of the fan on them. All morning, he and Berman have worked in the archaeological museum, placing Arabic texts and European histories beside each other, in an attempt to recognize echo, coincidence, name changes back past Herodotus to the to the Kita al-Kanus, where Zerzura is named after the bathing woman in a desert caravan. And there, too, is a slow blink of a fan's shadow. And here, too, the intimate exchange and echo of childhood history, of scar, of manner of kiss. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. How can I be your lover? He will go mad. A list of wounds. The various colors of the bruise, bright russet leading to brown. the plate she walked across the room with, flinging its contents aside, and broke across his head, the blood rising up into the straw hair. I swear I didn't read this beforehand. The fork that entered the back of his shoulder, leaving its bite marks, the doctor suspected were caused by a fox. He would step into an embrace with her, glancing first to see what movable objects were around. He would meet her with others in public with bruises or bandaged head and explain about the taxi jerking to a halt so that he had hit the open side window, or with iodine on his forearm that covered a welt. Maddox worried about his becoming suddenly accident prone. She sneered quietly at the weakness of his explanation. "Maybe it's his age. Maybe he needs glasses," said her husband, nudging Maddox. "Maybe it's a woman he met," she said. "Look, isn't that a woman's scratch or bite?" "It was a scorpion," he said. A postcard. Neat handwriting fills the rectangle. "Half my days I cannot bear not to touch you. The rest of the time, I feel it doesn't matter if I ever see you again. It isn't the morality, it's how much you can bear. No date, no name attached. Sometimes, when she is able to spend the night with him, they are. Oh, God. They are wakened by the three minarets of the city beginning their prayers before dawn. He walks with her through the indigo markets that lie between South Cairo and her home. The beautiful songs of faith enter the air like arrows, one minaret answering another as if passing on a rumor of the two of them as they walk through the cold morning air, the smell of charcoal and hemp already making the air profound. Sinners in a holy city. He sweeps his arm across plates and glasses on a restaurant table so she might look up somewhere else in the city, hearing this cause of noise. When he is without her, he, who has never felt alone in the miles of longitude between desert towns, a man in a desert can hold absence in his cupped hands, knowing it is something that feeds him more than water. Speaking of water. Oh, God. Oh. There is a plant he knows of near El Taj, whose heart, if one cuts it out, is replaced with a fluid containing herbal goodness. Every morning one can drink the liquid, the amount of a missing heart. The plant continues to flourish for a year before it dies from some lack or other. He lies in his room surrounded by the pale maps. He is without Catherine. His hunger wishes to burn down all social rules, all courtesy. Her life with others no longer interests him. He wants only her stalking beauty, her theater of expressions. He wants the minute and secret reflection between them, the depth of field minimal, their foreignness intimate like two pages of a closed book. Fuck. Okay, that's not in the book. He has been disassembled by her. And if she has brought him to this, what has he brought her to? When she is within the wall of her class and he is beside her in larger groups, he tells jokes he doesn't laugh at himself. uncharacteristically manic. He attacks the history of exploration. When he is unhappy, he does this. Only Maddox recognizes the habit. But she will not even catch his eye. She smiles to everyone, to the objects in the room. Praises the flower arrangement. Worthless, impersonal things. She misinterprets his behavior, assuming this is what he wants, and doubles the size of the wall to protect herself. But now he cannot bear this wall in her. You built your walls too, she tells him, so I have my wall. She says it glittering in a beauty he cannot stand. She, with her beautiful clothes, her pale face that laughs at everyone who smiles at her, with the uncertain grin for his angry jokes. He continues his appalling statements about this and that and some expedition they are all familiar with. The minute she turns away from him in the lobby of Grappi's bar after he greets her, he is insane. He knows the only way he can accept losing her is if he can continue to hold her or be held by her. If they can somehow nurse each other out of this, not with a wall. Sunlight pours into his Cairo room. His hand flabby over the erotic journal, all the tension in the rest of his body, so he writes words down wrong, the pen sprawling as if without spine. He can hardly write down the single word sunlight or the words in love. In the apartment, there is light only from the river and the desert beyond it. It falls upon her neck. Her feet. It falls upon her. It falls upon her neck, her feet, the vaccination scar he loves on her right arm. She sits on the bed, hugging nakedness. He slides his open palm along the sweat of her shoulder. This is my shoulder, he thinks. Not her husband's. This is my shoulder. As lovers, they have offered parts of their bodies to each other, like this, in this room, on the periphery of the river. In the few hours they have, the room is darkened to this pitch of light. Just river and desert light. Only when there is the rare shock of rain do they go towards the window and pull their arms out, stretching to bathe as much as they can of themselves in it. Shouts toward the brief downpour fill the streets. We will never love each other again. We can never see each other again. I know, he says, the night of her insistence on parting. She sits enclosed within herself in the armor of her terrible conscience. He's unable to reach through it. Only his body is close to her. Never again, whatever happens. Yes. I think he'll go mad, do you understand? He says nothing, abandoning the attempt to pull her within him. An hour later, they walk into a dry night. They can hear the gramophone songs in the distance from the music. For all cinema, its windows open for the heat. they will have to part before that closes up, and people she might know emerge from there. They're in the botanical gardens, near the Cathedral of All Saints. She sees one tear and leans forward and licks it, taking it into her mouth. She has taken the blood from his hand when he cut himself cooking for her. Blood, tear, he feels everything is missing from his body. Feels he contains smoke. All that's alive is the knowledge of future desire and want. What he would say, he cannot say to this woman whose openness is like a wound, whose youth is not mortal yet. He cannot alter what he loves most in her, her lack of compromise. Where the romance of the poems she loves still sits with ease in the real world. Outside these qualities, he knows there is no order in the world. Finished. This night of her insistence. Oh, God. 28th of September. The rain in the trees, already dried by hot moonlight. Not one cool drop to fall down upon him like a tear. This parting at Groppy Park, he has not asked if her husband is home in that high square of light across the street. He sees the tall row of travelers' palms above them, their outstretched wrists, the way her head and hair were above him when she was his lover. Now there's no kiss, just one embrace. He untugs. Oh, fuck. He untugs himself from her and walks away and then turns. She's still there. He comes back within a few yards of her, one finger raised to make a point. I just want you to know, I don't miss you yet. His face, awful to her, trying to smile. Her head sweeps away from him and hits the side of the gatepost. He sees it hurt her, notices the wince, but they've separated already, into themselves now. The wall's up at her insistence. Her jerk, her pain, it is accidental, is intentional. Her hand is near her temple. You will. She says. From this point on in our lives, she has whispered to him earlier, we will either find or lose our souls. How does this happen? To fall in love and be disassembled. Oh, God, the double entendres. I was in her arms. I had pushed the sleeve of her shirt up to the shoulder so I could see her vaccination scar. I love this, I said, this pale aureole on her arm. I see the instrument scratch and then punch the serum within her and then release itself, free of her skin, years ago, when she was 9 years old, in a school gymnasium. Oh, fuck. Oh. Oh, God, fuck the reading. Oh. Oh. I think that's the end of story time.
Mm-hmm.